Eclipse 500 owners, check your mailbox. Owners of some Boeing airliners are ordered to check for fuel system problems. And the FAA issues type and production certificates for the Hawker 4000. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 13th, 2008. An issue with throttle controls on the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet has moved quickly this week from a company bulletin to NTSB recommendation to the issuance of an FAA Emergency Airworthiness Directive, requiring action before the planes can be flown again. The incident which prompted the concern involved a pilot encountering wind shear on final approach at Chicago Midway on June 5th, pushing the power levers forward forcefully against the stops at the start of a go-around, caused both levers to exceed the range of the throttle position signal, resulting in an indication of control failure on both engines. In this mode, both engines default to the last known mode, which in this case was full power. Following one aborted landing, the pilot was able to successfully land the aircraft with one engine shut down and the other still at full power. The aircraft blew out both main tires on landing, a commonly reported problem that the company attributes to pilots landing at higher than normal airspeeds. Otherwise, there was no damage or injuries reported. Eclipse notified customers of the problem earlier this week. NTSB issued its own report recommending the action taken by the FAA yesterday. That emergency AD requires Eclipse owners to evaluate throttle controls and repair or replace if necessary, and also requires the addition of an addendum to the aircraft flight manual. The existing emergency procedure section covers only a single engine control failure, not both at once. The incident aircraft had logged only 238 hours and 192 cycles since new. NTSB Chairman Mark Rossanker commented, quote, "This incident demonstrated a technical safety of flight issue that we believe needs immediate attention," unquote. Responding to engine stoppages on six Boeing aircraft between 2002 and 2004, the FAA has issued a notice for customers flying Boeing 737s, 747s, and 777s, ordering them to check for a potential fuel system problem. The gremlin involved is possible air leaks that could result in multi-engine flameout, which in turn could lead to an inability to restart the engines and consequent forced landing of the airplane. The Wall Street Journal first reported the issue, which applies to over 3,500 aircraft in U.S. service. Both Boeing and the FAA point out many planes have already been checked. The FAA added the problem is not related to a January incident involving a British Airways 777, despite apparent similarities. Hawker Beechcraft announced Thursday its flagship Hawker 4000 super midsize business jet got final FAA type certification and production certification recently. That allows the company to begin delivering the composite-bodied business jet to customers this month. At last month's eBay show in Geneva, Hawker Beechcraft received a $330 million order from BeJets of India for 10 Hawker 4000s, with options for another five. The Wichita Eagle reports HBC now has 128 orders for the 4000 and expects to build about three per month by the end of the year. Defense Department officials call a U.S. airstrike Tuesday in Pakistan near the Afghan border legitimate and self-defense, and they said they're investigating the attack with Pakistani officials. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell said in a news conference Wednesday, quote, "Every indication we have at this point is that the actions were in self-defense after U.S. forces operating on the border of Pakistan in Afghanistan territory came under attack from hostile forces," unquote. News articles quoted Pakistani officials as saying the U.S. airstrike killed 11 members of Pakistan's military. Morrell did not confirm that report. Up next on ANN, Icon Aircraft debuts its new light sport amphibian. The NTSB wants more attention paid to bonded helicopter rotors. And ExpressJet makes peace with Continental Airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for Friday, the 13th of June, 2008. On the web, you can find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The crowded light sport aircraft marketplace just got a little more crowded, but at least the newest entry will stand out. Icon Aircraft officially introduced the company and its inaugural product, the Icon A5, at a private unveiling Wednesday night in Los Angeles. Company founder and CEO Kirk Hawkins told guests, quote, Icon Aircraft is bringing the freedom, fun, and adventure back into aviation by building aircraft that evoke an emotional response like great sports cars do. The sport is now back in flying, unquote. The two-seat amphibious sport plane features retractable landing gear and several patent-pending technologies, including folding wings that allow the plane to be easily stored and towed on the road with a trailer. The A5 features a carbon fiber airframe and comes standard with retractable landing gear and manual folding wings. The 100-horsepower Rotax 912 ULS gives the craft an estimated top speed of 120 miles an hour. Projected MSRP is $139,000. The National Transportation Safety Board is asking the FAA to revise Advisory Circular 27 that covers certification of normal category rotorcraft. The board wants to see long-term durability testing of adhesive bond joints in aluminum rotor blades and to set service life limits which account for varying loads and environments the blades will actually see in operation. NTSB also recommended that the FAA require Robinson Helicopter to develop a non-destructive inspection technique capable of consistently detecting bonding defects in trouble-prone areas of blades used on the R-22 and R-44. The board wants an inspection interval of no more than 596 hours, the earliest service at which debonding has been reported. The board contends that rotor blades found to contain a crack in the paint layer at the skin-to-spar bond line should be removed from service. NTSB is also calling for similar safeguards to be applied to aftermarket blades manufactured for use on Robinson helicopters. Airlines of all sizes have been staring down some bad news lately, but executives of ExpressJet have reason to be excited. A new capacity agreement between Houston-based ExpressJet and Continental Airlines not only shores up the regional carrier's balance sheet, but has convinced a hostile suitor to drop its takeover bid. SkyWest has been trying to buy ExpressJet, but dropped its offer last Friday, citing the Continental deal. SkyWest Chief Financial Officer Bradford Rich told Forbes, quote, "The execution of a new ExpressJet capacity purchase agreement removes a fundamental component of our offer," unquote. ExpressJet was once a subsidiary of Continental, but was spun off as a separate entity in 2002 under an IPO that raised $500 million. Under that deal, ExpressJet continued flying exclusively for Continental and was guaranteed fuel from the bigger airline at 71 cents a gallon. Exactly. Continental tried to renegotiate its contract due to higher fuel prices. ExpressJet said no. So Continental cut back its business with the regional, and ExpressJet countered by starting its own branded service and providing flights for other airlines. The new deal ends ExpressJet's discount fuel, but also guarantees the regional airline will stay busy. Pilots at Northwest Airlines sound like they're getting set for war. When Delta and Northwest started talking about merging, the pilots for both airlines were given an opportunity to work out issues involved in combining the workforces on their own. Both pilot groups are represented by the same union, the Airline Pilots Association. When those talks broke down, Delta made a separate deal with its own pilots, which will give them a raise and stock in the new company after the takeover of Northwest is completed. Northwest pilots have no such guarantee. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution now reports Northwest pilots urged ALPA President John Prater not to sign the Delta labor agreement, but rather to hold out for one that included Northwest pilots. But Prater reportedly signed off on the merger plan May 30th, and now there's talk of a standoff which sounds very much like what happened at U.S. Airways. When America West took over U.S. Airways about 3 years ago, there were bitter disagreements over seniority rankings between the two pilot groups, both of which were also represented by ALPA. In that case, pilots for the previous incarnation of U.S. Airways left ALPA and started their own union to fight for a deal they considered more equitable. The newly formed U.S. Airline Pilots Association predicts it could be another 4 years before the remaining issues finally get settled. Will something similar happen at Northwest? Many industry analysts see trouble ahead, but a statement on the matter from ALPA says, quote, "We have every reason to believe a joint agreement can be accomplished," unquote. Still ahead, Thielert engine owners want a seat at the insolvency table. The F-35B makes its first flight over Texas. And Northrop Grumman throws another stick in Boeing's spokes. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, the 13th of June, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Following some caustic public bickering between Diamond Aircraft Industries and the insolvent administrator for German engine manufacturer Thielert AG, owners of Thielert-powered aircraft have organized and retained German legal counsel to represent their interests. The Thielert Engine Owners Group, or THENOG, was formed last week to protect the investments of owners of nearly 1,000 aircraft, including about 900 Diamond DA-42s and DA-40 TDIs. Nearly half of those aircraft are currently grounded, and nearly all may be rendered uneconomical to operate, depending on the outcome of the Thielert situation. The group tells Aero News its members, quote, "have been treated to a horror show of bad news over the last 3 weeks, including the unexpected and sudden cancellation of engine warranties, quadrupled engine part prices, a variety of service bulletins on the engines that force early engine repairs and replacements, and uncertainty over parts supplies," unquote. Kentucky-based air taxi company YourJet LLC currently operates a DA-42. President Todd House, a founder and director of THENOG, says economic losses from the aircraft groundings now total about $1 million U.S. per week. The group hopes to establish THENOG as a substantial creditor to Thielert due to the cumulative value of warranty agreements, and gain a vote in the outcome of the insolvency. House believes that strength in numbers will help achieve the goal of getting the engines and the affected aircraft flying again. Thielert-powered aircraft owners who'd like to participate can register their interest and assign their power of attorney at the Thielert Engine Owners Group website. That's www.thenog.org. The short takeoff vertical landing variant of the Lockheed Martin F-35B Lightning II made a successful first flight Wednesday from the company's Fort Worth facility. Test pilot Graham Tomlinson, who's a former Royal Air Force Harrier pilot now employed by BAE Systems, was at the controls for the flight. After 44 minutes, which included handling tests and altitudes up to 15,000 feet, he commented, quote, "A great team effort led to a relaxed first flight, with the aircraft handling and performing just as we predicted based on STOVL simulator testing and flying the F-35A," unquote. There are three versions planned for the F-35. The A model is a conventional takeoff and landing craft. The B can perform short takeoff and vertical landing, using a lift fan behind the cockpit driven by a power takeoff shaft and developing 40,000 pounds of thrust. A C model will be optimized for carrier operations, and all three versions have supersonic and stealth capabilities. For now, the B model will be tested using only conventional takeoffs and landings. Its special vertical talents will be tested starting next year. Northrop Grumman recently started a series of press releases called Why We Won regarding the selection of its KC-45A tanker by the U.S. Air Force as a replacement for the service's aging KC-135 fleet. As a challenge of that decision from rival Boeing works its way through the Government Accountability Office, the series of press releases is a preemptive stiff arm to lawmakers and other provincial interests expected to go to war for Boeing if the GAO upholds the Northrop contract. As it started the series, Northrop promised to release actual Air Force comments from the selection process, with edits made only to protect military or business secrets. The latest missive in the series is also one of the most inflammatory. Northrop says the Air Force gave Boeing a rating of little confidence in being able to meet its performance promises based on past experience. The specific reasons for the conclusions are redacted for competitive reasons. But Northrop adds, quote, "It's no secret that Boeing built its last new KC-135 over 40 years ago and has now lost 5 consecutive tanker competitions. It's also true that Boeing is 3 years late in counting in delivering a tanker to Italy and was more than a year late in delivering an airworthy tanker to Japan," unquote. Boeing's communications folks can be expected to fire back. Stay tuned. And finally, it's Father's Day weekend, and it may be the best weekend of the year to hold a fly-in. If Dad says he wants to leave the yard work till Monday evening so he can go look at airplanes, the odds of getting away with it this weekend are excellent. But of all the fly-ins scheduled this weekend, one of the bigger question marks is the 11th Annual Virginia Regional Festival of Flight. Last year, the event, which had previously been held in October and called the Virginia Regional EAA Fly-In, wasn't held at all. Tomorrow, after a year off, it returns with a new name, at a new time of year, at a new airport 60 miles away from the old one. The new location is Suffolk Executive Airport, within 45 minutes drive for more than a million people who live in the Hampton Roads metro area. Attendees will be able to take flights in Robinson R-44 helicopters, a Stearman biplane, and a Stagger Wing Beach. Among the forums and workshops will be a Q&A with EAA's Ron Wagner on sport pilot and light sport aircraft rules and regulations. The Potomac TRACON will present the details of navigating the Washington Area ADIS. That's a big deal for pilots in the Mid-Atlantic region. An engine overhaul workshop will allow participants to tear apart and reassemble a Continental O200. To sum it up, this is a heritage event, but with a new face. The new airport has power, paved streets, and running water. Those are all upgrades over the prior location. Lots of great things have been planned. All that's left to see is how many of you show up. If you'd like to find out more about the event, visit www.virginiaflyin.org. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. Bob will tell us why we should request and expect VFR flight following. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Father's Day weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.